This would be John 10, that's right, picking up at verse 11, the obvious parallel. Hey, this is kind of a nice podium. I didn't see what you had up here. That's good. Is there music in here? Oh, there is. We could sing a hymn. Or in a non-gender specific mode, a her. John 10, verse 11. Yes, this is the Good Shepherd passage. So we stop at verse 4, whatever it is, and stick with the shepherd thing. Although I was struck with, the richness of the metaphor in the psalm is sort of a whole bunch of the components of meaning, if you will, that in the image of shepherd. The shepherd, he guides, he leads, he feeds, he does all kind of stuff. And here, actually, Jesus' teaching about himself as a good shepherd is a little more focused, so it would give you an opportunity, if you chose one text or the other, to have a more broad shepherd kind of sermon as opposed to a more narrowly focused one. But if you've been messing around in Hebrews or Luke or something, welcome back to the land of Chi, right? Here we are in John. Ego, this is John 10, 11 through 18. Ego emi ha poimen ha kalas. I myself am the shepherd, the noble, beautiful, good one, right? And the obvious reference here, I think, is probably the right one that's noted in the margin, namely to Ezekiel 34, right, where Yahweh promises he will come and shepherd his people and so forth and so on. So as with all of the ego eimi sayings, with one notable exception, the real punch is in the predicate nominative, and I know you're glad I said it that way. That is, it's I myself am what? I am things that the Old Testament said Yahweh would be, right? So it's not just ego eimi, it's ego eimi ha poimen ha kelos. I am the shepherd of Ezekiel 34, right? I am the good shepherd, and of Psalm 23, right? So I am the good shepherd, kai genosko ta, oops, I skipped a paragraph. Homo teloiaton, in action. I am the good shepherd, the shepherd, the good one, tain tsichein autu. Oh, here we have nefesh, right? The good shepherd, not his soul, but his psyche, his life, puts on behalf of the sheep. Now, tithemi seems a little awkward here. In fact, if you looked at the variant reading, some of the manuscripts want didomi, gives, which seems to be more appropriate, but the sense is clear enough. The good shepherd, the poimen, the kalos one, puts his life on behalf of the sheep. Now we have the awkward construction of the text. Oh, so by the way, here we have the dominant image here, and that is the shepherd's role as protector. See, this is the dominant image in this, in the Good Shepherd text, is that not the shepherd as nurturer, not the shepherd as feeder, but as the one who protects the sheep. And of course, this is one of the dominant characteristics of sheep, especially as a metaphor for God's people, that is, defenseless. Sheep cannot defend themselves. Although if you saw, what was this unbearably cute movie with the pig? Babe, yeah. The sheep did a pretty good job to a certain extent at times there. But even there, it was the dogs, you know, the bad guys. Verse 12, ha misthotas kai uk on poimen. This is very awkward. You have one definite article governing first a noun linked with kai to a participle. It's quite awkward, but the sense of it has to be the hireling and not the being shepherd guy. So it's quite awkward. So, if you had two participles, it would be easier. If you had two nouns, it would be easier. But you have a noun and a participle. So again, the hireling and not being shepherd guy. It's because own is the participle of eimi, the present participle of eimi. And so the one definite article governs both, right? Who is the masculine singular genitive relative pronoun of whom the sheep are not idia, his own. Okay? Idias means one's own, and it agrees in gender, number, and case with the noun that it's modifying. So ta probata is actually the subject of that relative clause, and idia is sort of like a predicate nominative. Of whom the sheep are not his own, that is, they don't belong to the hireling, who is not a shepherd. Okay, now we finally get to the verb. So let's start at the beginning again. The hireling who is not a shepherd, of whom are the sheep are not his own, sees, theore, tun lukon erchamenon kai aphies enta probata kai fuge. He theoreos, he sees the wolf erchamenon. Now John loves to do this construction where you have a verb of perception followed by the direct object with an article and then a predicate position participle. This is probably what Veldt calls a supplementary participle. It's in the later chapters of his book. Namely, supplementary participle is a shorthand for a predicate position participle that seems to be acting like an attributive position participle. Okay, so it's just kind of adjectival. It's sort of a necessary, closely attached to the direct object. So it's not he sees the wolf as he comes or he sees the wolf when he comes, but he simply sees the wolf coming. Right, he sees the wolf coming and he aphiemis. There's a flexible word for you. It can mean forgive, it can mean forsake, it can mean divorce. Here it simply means leave. He leaves them, he leaves the sheep and he flees. And the wolf ravages them. He pillages them, obviously, you know, destruction and death. And he scatters. Why? Because he is a misthotos. He is a hireling. And now this is easy enough. We do something like this in English. Mele is indeclinable form. It is most often used impersonally, and it means it is a concern to, or it is a care for someone in the dative. So here it's not, and it is not a care to him concerning the sheep. And in good English, he doesn't care about the sheep. Okay? So the contrast here, and we're still in metaphor land, after Jesus introduces himself as the good shepherd, then he talks metaphorically about what a good shepherd does as opposed to a hireling, right? And again, here, it's protection. He protects the sheep from that which would destroy them. So now we pick up the direct metaphorical speech where Jesus, is that a contradiction in terms, direct metaphor? Anyway, ego mi ha poimen ha kalas. I am the good shepherd, and I know ta ema. Emas is a possessive adjective. John likes to use it, I think, and my sense is that he uses it more than anybody else. It literally means the mine things, okay? The mine ones, and here it's neuter plural because sheep is neuter plural, okay? So that's why it's translated, and I know my sheep, or I know my own, and they, and genoskuze me ta ema, and my own know me. Now here's same form, ta ema, with the first verb, it's accusative, with the second verb, it's nominative, right? But it's neuter plural, so it looks the same. It has to be, otherwise you don't have a subject. Now here's a nice comparison. I mean, talk about a strong way to talk about the knowledge that the good shepherd has of his sheep and they of him. I know my own and they my own know me, kathos, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Now that's interesting. I mean, it won't be in every sense, but you know, this is a very strong statement. This Jesus' knowledge of his sheep and their resulting knowledge of him is very strong. In fact, it can be compared, who knows exactly how, to the knowledge that the Father and the Son have of one another. Then he goes on, and, he repeats himself, and my life I put on behalf of the sheep. So again, the protection image here. And, verse 16, Kai Allah, not Allah. This kind of messes me up on a bad day when I haven't had enough coffee. You know, Allah means but or rather. Allah is the neuter plural form of, anybody? Allahs. It means other. Okay, Ryan got it. Ah, it's a good day for Ryan. It's a good day in the neighborhood. That's right. And other sheep I have, relative pronoun, which are not out of this sheep pen, this aule, this courtyard. It means any kind of an enclosed area, apparently, because I think it's Peter goes into the aule to see Jesus trial, I think. So it's a, you know, it's obviously a sheep courtyard here. It is necessary for me to lead also those guys. So we've got dei with the infinitive, which you normally have. It is necessary for me to lead also those guys. Kakenas is kai plus akenas. So you've got two words slammed together there. And akususin, they, those other sheep, they will hear my voice. And genesantai, they will, this is a future from ginomai, they will be or become mia poimen, one flock, heis poimen, one flock, one shepherd. Okay, a little awkward, but the sense is clear enough. Verse 17, on account of this, me the Father loves. Agapao is alpha contract, and so when you get alpha and epsilon, iota together, the iota goes subscript and the epsilon disappears, and you get a circumflex, so that's just a present indicative. I think the subjunctive would look the same. On account of this, the Father loves me because I put my life so that, again, I may take it. And autein is feminine because its antecedent is life. Right? No one, this gets very strong here. And by the way, this is, I think you could say this is the strongest statement in the New Testament about Jesus' control over both his own death and his own resurrection. See, the majority way the New Testament has of speaking about Jesus' resurrection is that God the Father raises him from the dead, right? But here Jesus speaks very strongly. I mean, it's really remarkable. It's not the only place, but this is probably the strongest one. No one takes it from me. I'm in charge here. Rather, now we have Allah, right? Rather, I put it from myself. Exousion echo. I have authority to put it, and authority I have, again, to take it. This command I received from my Father. This is what the Father commanded me to do, and I'm going to do it, and the Father loves me. Right? So again, I mean, Jesus, this is his affirmation of his, you know, his work, his identity as the Good Shepherd. And again, although it would be a nice focus for the sermon, although we do have this going out to get other sheep image, you know, so he does go out and lead them here too. So we've got that activity of a shepherd also. But it's primarily the protection. And so, you know, if you're going to preach on this text, you can, that one of the goals is to affirm and to firm up in the hearers, you know, the sense or the joy over the protection that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, gives us against our enemies, you know, something like that. And then you could spend some time talking about what are the enemies, what are the things that would threaten to, like a wolf, ravage and destroy us. Those things will never do that because he is the shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Yeah, Mike.
Would the Father not love Jesus?
Good question. Theoretically, I suppose that's right. If there ever were a time when Jesus did not carry out the command that the Father had given him, it's really a strange statement, isn't it? You know, that he loves me because of this. And I think the commentaries are right when they say the sense of it is not that, okay, the Father is waiting to see if he does it, and when he does it, he loves him. It's simply that this is the kind of relationship that the Son has with the Father, that he always does the Father's will, and for this reason, the Father loves him. You know. And by the way, this is one of the remarkable features of John's Gospel as a whole, is that, and it's like unto Hebrews in that regard, because in Hebrews you have the highest Christology and the lowest Christology in the same piece of writing, right? You have the one who is the very image and likeness of God, and yet he learned obedience as a son. See, you have both at the same time. And in John, you have in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and before Abraham was I am, and this guy is God, right? And you have at the same time, I do nothing of my own will, but I always do the will of him who sent me. I can do nothing unless I see the Father doing it. I mean, it's really a remarkable juxtaposition of things in John. And this is part of that latter theme, that the Son has one purpose, one mind, and that is to do what the Father has sent him to do. And in the language of the text, to carry out the command. The command is, go protect the sheep. go lay down your life and take it up again. And this Jesus says, I will do. Yeah, John? I know, it's a remarkable statement, isn't it? About knowing the sheep as the Father knows me and so forth and so on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Right. Yeah, right, right. That's, you know, you never have a lack of parallel passages in John. You know, there is absolutely no excuse for going someplace else to find a parallel passage, because John just repeats himself so much. Yeah, and in really wonderful ways. Yeah, yeah, that's right. It's all right there. So, yeah, John is a gospel where when you do a word study, you know, you want to, and you hit the computer button, it generates 5,000 verses. And they're all in John, because he just keeps saying the same thing over and over and over again. So, yeah, but this is, it's a wonderful text. And again, in comparison with the psalm, which gives a huge panoply of meaning, here, this text is more focused, right, on what the shepherd, what the good shepherd does. Yeah, Mike? Probably. You know, probably some people do. Right. Yeah. Right. Aule. That's right. Well, yeah, I mean, you could probably do an etymological study of aule and prove anything you want to prove. Right. Yeah. I've never heard of this, but would is this your STM thesis, Mike? Or yeah. Yeah. No, I haven't heard that, but who knows? It's got to be on the internet somewhere. Oh, yeah. Well, what's the parallel in John? Is it in the high priestly prayer? I think it is in the high priestly prayer, where Jesus talks about those who will know me through their word, that they may all be one. Yeah. So I think that the reference is clearly to others besides these Jewish disciples. Right, right. So, yeah, Chris? Cool. Cool. That's clearly the reference. Well, you know, that's good. I saw this side reference in Nestle Island to Book Mumun, and I couldn't figure out what it was, and now I know. These abbreviations, you know, are hard to decipher sometimes, so I think it's time to stop. I think you got it.